Well, hello, radio friends, and once again, this is Minor Hawk introducing you to another Voice of the Gospel radio broadcast. We'll open up the program today by asking God's blessing on His Word. Our God and Father, we bow in Thy presence today at the beginning of another radio broadcast to thank Thee again for Thy Son. Thank Thee for the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in Him and His death at the cross. Do bless Thy Word about to go forth, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, today I want to direct your attention to a few verses of Scripture as we find it in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3, and for sake of time, I'll begin reading at verse 6. And when the woman, meaning Eve, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? And the Lord will bless to us a public reading of His Word. Now, friends, as you know, the Bible is a book containing quite a number of questions, and each one of them demands an answer, especially when the question comes from the lips of God. Now, the question that I would seek to bring before those of you listening in today is one which God Himself has asked nearly 6,000 years ago, and yet it was no more appropriate then than what it is today. The question for your consideration, my friend, is, Where art thou? Where art thou? Now, we've just read where Adam and Eve had disobeyed God by partaking of the forbidden fruit, and were told that the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Ah, listen, my friend. When the news reached heaven that man had sinned, what did God do? Why, He came straight down to seek out the ones upon whom the sentence of death had fallen. And what did Adam and Eve do after they sought to cover their nakedness by their own efforts? Why, they hid amongst the trees in the garden, and they heard the voice of God as He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And the voice said, Where art thou? Where art thou? Friend, it was a voice of love and mercy and grace, seeking the sinner. Adam and Eve should have been doing the seeking. Yes, they should have gone up and down the garden crying, Oh God, where art thou? But instead, God left heaven and came down to this dark world of sin. Yes, He was seeking the rebel creature just as He is today. Not to cast him into a deserving hell, but rather to plan for him an escape from the misery of his sin. And God finds him too. But where? Hiding from his creator amongst the trees of the garden. Yes, earlier, when God had left Adam and Eve in the garden, they were in sweet communion with their Creator God, and they were on speaking terms with God too. But once they had sinned, they had no desire to commune with God. They couldn't even bear to speak to Him, and so they hid from God. But friend, the cry of a seeking God burst the evening stillness with three little words. Where art thou? Where art thou? Listen, friend. Haven't you ever lain in bed perhaps at the midnight hour, and the thought came over you, What is this thing called life? What am I doing? Who am I? Where am I going? And what's going to be the end of it all? Now to you who are young and energetic, where art thou? You who are old with gray hair and eyes growing dim like the speaker, where art thou? You who may be young or old, and lying on beds of suffering and death, as you are about to step off into eternity, where art thou? Where art thou? Now, friends, I'm not concerned about where you are in your own eyes. I'm not concerned about where you are in the sight of your friends or your associates. No, my friend, it makes literally no difference what others may think about us. The important thing is, what does God think about us? Yes, it is of vast importance to know where we are in the sight of a thrice holy God. Now, friends, before we go any further, let's be clear on one point, and that is, I'm speaking to you as an individual, and this all-important question is one which demands your personal as well as immediate attention. It was the very first question put to mankind after his fall in the garden. It was a very small audience that God had too, just Adam and Eve. So my friend, don't think that God is speaking to your neighbor. He's speaking to you today. He's speaking to you as though you were alone. And the question he asks is, where art thou? Yes, where art thou in view of the onrushing eternity? Now those of you who profess to be Christians out in Radio Land today, how would you answer the question, where art thou? Are you a real child of God? Have you been born again? Do you recall a time in your life and a place where and a manner how you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Have you, my friend? Have you ever seen yourself as lost and hell deserving? Have you ever by faith applied the blood of Christ to that sinful, sick heart and soul of yours? Friend, are you making progress towards heaven? Do your friends know you to be out and out for the Lord? Can you give a reason for the hope that is within you? And friend, if you were to die today, could you honestly say, with the assurance of an indwelt Holy Spirit and Word of God, that your soul would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Could you, my friend? Well, friend, if you can truthfully answer yes to the aforementioned questions, then you should thank God afresh for His unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can answer that question, where art thou, with the words, I'm a sinner saved by grace, through faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary's cross. Friend, if you can say that honestly today, you should thank God for His unspeakable gift. Now, friend, let me digress temporarily to make one point quite clear, and that is, professing Christ and possessing Christ are altogether two different things. I don't doubt but what 95% of the people in the United States today may profess to be Christians. Ah, but listen, my friend, it is evident from their walk and their talk that many of them have never been born of the Spirit of God. No, they're still in their sins. They have never experienced conviction of sin, and they know little or nothing about the personal application of the sacrificial and substitutionary death of Christ. Sure, these people may be very religious in the community. They may belong to a church. They may have been baptized or dedicated. They may even be a Sunday school teacher, a singer in the choir, or even a so-called reverend. But my friend, if you've never truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're still on your way to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Now don't misunderstand me, friend. I'm not saying that everyone that has been baptized, joined a church, teaches Sunday school, sings in a choir, or takes the name reverend, are lost and on their way to hell. No, no. That's not the point. What I'm saying is, if you've never seen yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, and have never seen the blood of Jesus Christ as your only means of escaping God's wrath, then I say unreservedly and without apology that regardless of who you are or where you are, you've never experienced the new birth. And it was Jesus Christ, not I, that says in John 3:3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the sad part about it is the fact that there are millions of people who are depending upon their religious activities and affiliations to keep them out of the eternal burning. And friend, with the fear of God before me today, I can say that I personally believe that there are more formerly professing Christians in hell than there are in heaven. Yes, it's a sad state of affairs, but speaking to you as an individual professing Christian, friend, let me ask you, where art thou? Yes, this question indeed should cause much soul-searching on the part of each and every one of us who profess to be children of God. Now, perhaps there are some listening in today, and you know down deep in your heart that you've made a false profession of faith in Christ. Yes, you recall how emotional you were when you went forward to the altar or raised your hand at the invitation of some eloquent speaker. But it soon wore off, didn't it? You read your Bible for a while, and now you seldom pick it up. You used to spend much time on your knees, but now you can't seem to find time for God. You've gone right back into the world that you had loved so much. To you, God asked the question, where art thou? Where art thou? Listen, my friend, If you're laboring under a false profession, give it up. Yes, give it up. If you have no time for the things of God, give it up. If you have not the love of Christ in your heart, give it up. Yes, give up that false profession. And right now, wherever you are, just where you are, my friend, out in Radio Land, acknowledge your sinful condition before God and cry out like the publican in Luke 18, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Friend, I can't think of anything worse in God's sight than an individual who knows that they have nothing more than a name to live by and have not the root of the matter within them. I don't doubt but what there are many false professors listening to my voice today. And even now the Holy Spirit of God is pleading with you to cast aside your pride and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Master. But will you? Will you, my friend? You're fooling your friends and neighbors. And everything's going all right up to now. Why change it? Why rock the boat? You're respected by others in your religious association. Why upset things now? And besides, they might laugh at you, and you'll be the topic of local gossip. This, my friend, is just what the devil wants. He likes you just the way you are, externally pure, pious, and proud. But how about the heart? Sinful, corrupt, and headed for hell. Oh, friend, I plead with you, in sincerity and love for your soul, give up your false profession and truly accept God's offer of mercy through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, friend, let me warn you that the day is not far away when the tares shall be separated from the wheat and shall be cast into the everlasting burnings prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, just a word to those of you who perhaps have never heard the gospel before. You've given no thought to your soul's eternal welfare. You're not a church member, and you never expect to be. You make no profession of faith in Christ because you haven't taken the time to listen to the question, where art thou? Friend, you're too busy wallowing in the muck and mire of sin. You're going in for all the pleasures of the world. Yes, all that the world has to offer, and your philosophy is one of eat, drink, and be merry. If you have any thoughts at all about the hereafter, you keep them to yourself, or you muzzle them before they interfere with your lust for pleasure and sin. You, my friend, are a sinner, and you know it. But you're not a bit concerned about the possibilities of an eternal hell. You, my friend, are in a state of spiritual shock and denial. Yes, perhaps you're laughing at me even now as I bring before you the Word of God. And what does God's Word have to say? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, friends, I see my time's about gone, but I would plead with you in love for your soul to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be happy to do so. Address all correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.